The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Praise
on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace be with you." Then the wind ceased, and there was dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know about all of you, other than those of you who have shared your thoughts with me in the past week or so, but I'm kind of feeling like the disciples. There's a storm raging, and I just want it to stop. This past week, the news, many of our hearts, and the lives of many have been consumed by the events taking place down on the border. The initial planning and then the intentional separation of children from their asylum-seeking parents. Sent all over the country with no concept or apparent plan to know where or when they will be reunited. As I said to my wife the other day, even when you go into prison, not from personal experience, even when you go into prison, you get a little like what looks like a hospital band with a barcode. Or when you have a baby, they give the baby a band and the mother and even the dad, if he's lucky, a barcode. Connecting, no, we didn't even put that much planning into it. We just sent the children of others off, many of which it has already been considered will probably never be reunited with their parents. They can account for the young men, because young teenage men of color are apparently dangerous, so we keep track of them. Infants have been penned up in places around the country, but in somewhat of a foster system, so we have some idea of where they are. But one of the most frightening things about what's happened this week is there is some multitude of nearly a thousand young women, girls. Nobody knows where they are. This storm is just raging, and I don't know about you, but I just want it to stop. I feel like there's a chance that we could perish in this turmoil. While all this was going on, quietly behind the scenes, the UN Council on Human Rights was about to release a paper on poverty in America, which had a large section focusing on particularly children. and the plight of so many children in this country who live not just under subsistence level, under poverty level, but in really, really, really dire poverty. So what we decided to do as a nation was we decided to pull out of the Council on Human Rights, which we created after World War II, because if we pull out of it, it discredits it. And if it discredits it, this poverty report must not be true and hence doesn't exist in our country. While all that was going on, the cabinet has been discussing how to realign itself to cut significantly back on and possibly eliminate both food stamps and supplemental senior food sources. So like the group that we work with here through the FDA and through Food Share, where we supply supplemental food to senior citizens who live under the food stamp requirement line, would be eliminated. On Thursday, I had the privilege of making a number of those deliveries with Charlotte and to see the people coming in to get their supplemental food packages. And let me tell you, most of these folks need what they're picking up. There seems to be, I'm going to use the word, you can use whatever word you want, there seems to be a war on the weakest amongst us. The poor, the immigrant, the elderly, and for some absolutely bizarre reason that I cannot conceive any possible reason, children. The one thing that in all conversations, no matter what your religious or political or moral affiliations are, were just, you know, it was the untouchable, it was the third rail. Children, this is a country that cares for children. And not for its own children only, but for the children of the world. We are the people who created the Peace Corps. You know, feed the children. You know, Children's Defense Fund. You can go on and on and on and on with NGOs that are American-born that have children in their title. The storm, I just got the joke, that's the one thing we haven't heard about this week. It was a stormy joke, guys, come on. Try to lighten things up a little bit here. But really, this storm is raging, and it's raging externally and internally. And unlike the disciples in that boat that day, we just can't walk over and wake Jesus up and say, dude, we're dying here. Do something. Quit. The Spirit of God has come to us to be the hands and the heart of the Jesus that stills the storm. In our baptism, our parents, or us if we were older, made promises that we would be the hands and the heart of that Jesus who stills the storm. The most proactive thing I have done this week about what's going on the border is turn off the damn TV. I'm pretty sure that didn't change anybody's mind. But we did have a change of mind. We no longer are going to separate children. We're now going to imprison them with their parents. But don't worry, they're not cages, they're pens. A couple of years ago, Bob Smith, where is he? Is he here? Oh, great. I was saying you miss one day a year, and today's the day. A couple of years ago, Bob Smith came up to me after we had all been inundated with the images of Syrian refugees. And it was a particular image of a young Syrian father holding a drowned baby in his arms that seemed to snap. And Bob came up to me on Sunday with tears in his eyes. He, like me, is a public crier, so I can say it out loud. With tears in his eyes, he says, "Bob, we got to do something. I don't know what it is, but we got to do something." And while we were having that conversation, and ultimately we were having that conversation was happening in faith communities all around the country. And different people had different answers, but everybody felt, or most people felt, driven to do something. So what I'm asking is, what is the difference between the photo of that Syrian father with that dead child in his arms and the photo, the imagery we got last week of the father with the Down syndrome child being torn from his arms? Which not only didn't get a lot of response, what public response it got from the administration was literally a member of the administration making fun of it. Basically laughing at it. And then we get another change. Maybe we shouldn't do what we did, change the change that we already changed. The storm is getting so much that it feels like a hurricane coming from every direction. Now I know it's a cliche, but then most good sermons are. I know it's a cliche. But this reminds me of the old saying, remember WWJD? It was a big thing back when I was like in college, a little bit older. Stood for those of you who, whatever, don't remember, or weren't here at the time. What would Jesus do? Because, I mean, people are more than happy to stand up in public and defend these policies using the Bible, although beautifully misquoted the other day. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, I mean, when the whole WWJD thing was a big deal, I kind of made fun of it, because what would Jesus do is not exactly something you want to get your teenage kids following. Remember? He was a political, religious revolutionary. It's not exactly what you want as a 15-year-old in your house. They kind of do it on their own. You don't want to support it with the Bible. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that's not what the question is about. The question is about our priorities. Because this is not, do not get me wrong. This is not a political crisis. This is a moral, ethical, faith, religious crisis. I have disagreed with a lot of things that have happened in Washington during my lifetime. But I have never felt afraid. Deeply, deeply wounded. This is not a political crisis. This is a moral, ethical, faith-based, religious crisis. What would Jesus say about how we treat other people? Oh, wait! He said a whole bunch about how we should treat other people. And you know the answer to that question. So instead of just turning off the TV, well, that's a whole other thing. I mean, I'm one of those sick people who loves MSNBC, and they've stolen it from me. Now I feel really abused, because I have to turn it off. And you're wondering, what in God's name does this have to do with baptism? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's got everything. With baptism. Not just the easy juxtaposition of abused children of people of color and privileged, gifted children. It's got to do with what we promise to do. It's got to do with how do we want to raise our children. Yeah. those of you who don't know Hattie, this is Hattie. And literally, this is not airbrushed. She is this cute. So, her parents, the good and faithful people that they are, or person and husband, have made a decision that this is important. And a lot of people do. A lot of people decide, we want to get our kids baptized. Or the grandparents decide, you have to get your kids baptized. Or, you know, somehow or another, the kids get baptized. And sometimes, people actually really, really think about it. And feel that they want the church community to be a part of their child's journey. So what we're going to do today is we're going to welcome Hattie formally through a little water, a little oil, into the family of believers. But we're not going to do that just for her. And we're not going to just do it for Nick and Barb. We're going to do it for all the lives that she is going to change as she gets older. She won't ever get bigger. We know that. She got her mother's statue, not her father's. Praise be to Jesus. So, before us, I stand with not just a beautiful child, but an example. An example of what privilege and advantage can do for the world. If she's anything like her parents, she's got to be smart. She's got to be witty. She's already cute. And she, well, depending on which parents, she's going to be organized. You add that up with a faith grounded in Jesus, and she can be part of the agency that calms the storm. To walk a journey that touches the lives of others. Now, I'm going to deal with that. Now, I'm not speaking hyperbolically here. It's not even the right word, but you know what I mean. I actually know her parents well. And many of you do. And they are the people who are concerned and outraged, like many of us. And they're going to impart that concern and that love and that care into this child's life, into her journey. And then it's our job as a community of the faithful to support her in that journey as we support each other. So, when you wake up in the morning and you're still tired, or you get through the day and all you want to do is have a glass of wine and watch the news, and you know that's probably a really bad idea. Alcohol and violence does not matter. Instead of just turning the TV off, instead of just finding a spouse or a loved one or a friend who's willing to complain and moan with you, do something. Something little. For your own sake. For God's sake. Do something. Because that's the only way that the storm is going to cease. Because we have been given the responsibility and the gift to be the hands and heart of Jesus.